Timmies and Spikes, we must all arrive at the win condition.
I just got main decked after the first time.
So what you're saying is the entire Kamigawa block just got a huge financial boost.
Their abilities did not feel very planeswalky.
God, I'm pulling all these legendary creature cards out of my butt.
Hey, would you run Dejuru, or would you rather have Athalia's Lancers? Boom!
Hello again, and welcome back to the Win Condition Podcast. My name is Sean, I'm your host. I'm joined by my co-host, Greg. How's it going, Greg?
It's another night.
It is another night. Hopefully not as crispy as last week.
Definitely not. I mean, I'm sitting out here, I think it's around 80 degrees.
Oh, that's much more enjoyable. It's only a modest 105 out here in Fresno. The summer finally decided to show up, so.
Didn't it? I was looking at the news today, and they're telling me tomorrow, that being Friday for us, it's going to hit 112.
Yeah.
Here in the Bay Area. I can only imagine the doom it spells for you.
That's unheard of. I mean, the Bay Area, you know, 95 is hot, and you're going that high. I mean, good night.
Are you getting haze where you're at?
No haze. Okay. We had some cloud cover this morning, but that all burns off by about, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning.
You know, all day today, we were covered in smoke from those fires up north.
Oh, that's terrible. That's sad to hear.
Anyhow, we got to stop talking about California weather.
Yeah, right. We got more important.
I think it's magic.
And fun stuff to talk about. Exactly. Right? Yep. Well, before we get too far into it, just a reminder, this show is brought to you by Flipside Gaming at flipsidegaming.com, where all orders over $10, if you use the promo code WINCONDITION in all caps, you will get 10% off your purchase, and it will contribute to further show giveaways. So head on over to Flipside Gaming and buy some stuff. They're great.
We appreciate it.
Absolutely. So first things first, Greg, we got, in conjunction with a new spoiler for Ixalan, a rules change in regards to planeswalkers.
We did.
Do you want to elaborate on that rules change for us?
So first, I'm going to talk about the spoiler, because this card is too hard not to talk about, and that is Jace Cunning. I can't remember the last word.
All right, I'm pulling him up right now.
You're not the only one. But this guy is a one generic blue, so he is a 3-drop planeswalker, Cunning Castaway. If you haven't listened to the story podcast, I suggest it. This is a Jace without any preconceptions on who he is. He has lost all memories, and he is being him. This is Jace at his core being Jace.
So this is Jace possibly directly after Nicol Bolas got into a sort of a mental, I wouldn't even call it a fight, pretty much.
No possibility. It is.
Wow. So
yeah. So this is Jace rebooted.
Jace does not know who he is.
Yeah.
He is wearing a corset. Not a corset, but a corset.
All right. So big changes. His type line is legendary planeswalker Jace. Yeah, yes. You heard it right. He is a legend now. +1 ability is whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player. This turn, draw a card, then discard a card. So anytime you just do this, if a creature deals combat damage, you loot. -2, put out a 2/2 blue illusion creature token, which, when this creature becomes target of a spell, or spell, sacrifice it. Notice they're getting rid of that ability type line in illusions. Kind of excited for that.
Yeah.
Then -5, create 2 tokens that are copies of Jace Cunning Castaway. Wait a minute.
What?
We're getting planeswalker tokens? Sorry, well, except they're not legendary. So yes, we are getting Planeswalker tokens. Yes, because of this change, the uniqueness rule has gone out the window. They completely threw it away and said, we don't care about it. I mean, sorry, guys.
There's just so much to unbox here with both this preview as well as the rules change. I mean, let's just start right off the bat. This is a 3-drop Jace Planeswalker. I mean, blue players are already just salivating over the fact that this could see standard play. It could see modern play. It's at that 3-drop sweet spot that a lot of people are looking for to actually play a competitive Planeswalker.
I definitely see in standard the fact that it can't remove things makes it really awkward.
True. Very true. I mean, it comes down with 3 loyalty. It plus ones to 4. And its ultimate will take it about 2 turns to get to. I mean, now we live in a world where if you play Commander, you know, or even some modern decks are running Doubling Season, so this does fit that bill. When it comes down, you will be able to ultimate and create copies of Jace right away.
Here's the dumb thing with this card in a Doubling Season. So you get to ult, and then you get 2 copies of Jace. Oh, wait, 4 copies of Jace, all with 6 loyalty counters on them. And then all of them get to ult, creating another 4 copies each.
So what you're saying is you can create infinite Jaces with a Doubling Season, creating an infinite amount of illusions and card draw looting opportunities.
Correct.
That's pretty insane. So,
isn't that sweet? It's kind of exciting. It's an interesting thought. It's something that we really haven't seen. Now, with this legendary rules change, I don't know if you guys have been looking at the finance community, but they are all a buzz right now, because now that they have this new legendary typing, that's a new super type added to them, which means there are cards that can now search them up. There are cards that can now destroy them. There are cards that can now steal them. There are cards that could copy them and deny the legendary rule taking effect.
True. Now, you said a word in that phrase there, super type. Just for all our listeners, to let them know exactly what super type is, there's actually 3 different types when it comes to naming a card and naming conventions. So the creature, I'm sorry, let's just keep with Planeswalkers here.
Whoa.
So Planeswalker is a card type. The name... Oh, go ahead.
That's not a card type. It's a super type. So a super type is a representation of what this card is as a full amount. So if it is an instant is its super type. If it is a sorcery is its super type. Now, there are other cards that can alter this, like, for instance, Arcane. Kamigawa Block had those. That is a subtype of the card. It is a alternate version of it that it is adjusting to it, saying I'm this and this, but this is what I meant at all times.
Okay, well, my impression was that cards like creature, land, artifact, enchantment, instant were all card types. And then the super type is what would describe that, so like legendary creatures, tribal, instant.
No. The super type is the 8. Then you have tribal is included in super types.
Okay.
And then you have your type of card, and that is, maybe I am wrong.
I think type is creature, land, enchantment, artifact, instant, sorcery, but then you have your subtype.
Tribal. Right. Tribal is a super type. Legendary is a super type. The other ones are all basic types. And then your subtype is what it is, which is arcane,
elf, human,
Jace, warrior. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So you have your super type, then your type, and then your subtype. So yeah, no, your point about the legendary rule super type was absolutely correct, and that is huge. And like you were saying about if you're looking into the finance community, there was a card in particular that pertains to the quote legend rule, and That card is from the Kamigawa block. That card's called Mirror Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And that card has seen a drastic spike very recently. It's floating around $20 now.
25.
25? Holy cow.
25. Which is a, well, they were at around $3 previously. So that is almost a...
Math, because we math here.
We do math here sometimes.
3, 6, 9,
800% increase.
Somewhere around that. It's absurd.
Yeah.
Wherever it's
and
at.
Then to even make it more ridiculous, the foils were at around $5. I've seen foils going for as close to $120.
Jeez.
Talk about a price jump. Now, this is only one of the cards that took a big hike. Although, surprisingly, the least effective of any card that took a hike.
Yeah. Well, and then just recently in Standard, we have Thalia's Lancers, which can search up a legendary permanent.
Has not seen a jump in price yet.
No, and now all of a sudden you can cast your Thalia's Lancers and go grab yourself a Planeswalker, because they've all right. been errated to be legendary super types. So
yeah.
That's pretty crazy. And then you mentioned a couple other old classics that have seen a bit of a spike too that are going to be very useful.
So I'm going to go way back here. I think we're going to start with Empress Galena. And I can't remember. I want to say she's out of Nemesis.
Let's see here. She is out of Nemesis, yes.
Boom! And she's a 5-drop, 2/3, and she's a legendary creature.
Holy cow, she's like $30.
Yeah, she's like $30. But her ability is double blue and tap, gain control of target legendary or legend card.
Okay.
So this used to be just only played in EDH, because guess what? If I can steal your general, I'm winning the game. Because you're like, ha, 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 I've taken you off your combo. You can't do anything anymore. And, of course, the most powerful creatures in EDH are legendary creatures. I mean, there's so many that just do so many different things. Azami, Azusa, Okagachi. Just a few from Kamigawa block, because they were the ones on the tip of my tongue.
Now, who is... Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there a creature, and this goes way back to, that will tap to destroy a legendary, is it creature, or is it...
Sabo Savek can only destroy legendary creatures.
Oh, dang it, okay.
But right. She does have protection from legendaries.
Oh.
So you can no longer, like, fire blast it or deal damage to it with a Chandra Flame Caller, because it is a legend.
True. Okay. Good point. And if you're thinking Arena of the Ancients is going to do anything, well, tapping a Planeswalker won't really turn it off from working, unless it's a Gideon can attack. Yeah. but yeah, no, this opens up a whole new door of possibilities. Oh, go ahead.
There was one other card that we saw a big price jump in. And mainly, like, the foil saw a huge jump, but the normal one did too, because it was originally around $7 to $8. And this is Captain Sisse of the Weatherlight.
Good now, old
the Weatherlight
Captain
is not
Sisse.
What it's called, but it's just Captain Sisse. But what was so good about her, she was a 4-drop 2/2 legendary creature that said, tap, search your library for a legendary card. Simple enough, right?
Yep.
Yeah. This just makes it so much better. I mean, why would you run Deploy the Gatewatch when you can run a Captain Sisse?
Yeah. I mean, she does tap, so she will have to make it around the board one turn, but
hey,
still.
Hey, one more. What do you get? There's this legendary card that's just really good. The untaps non-land permanents when you play a spell?
Oh yeah.
Paradox Engine. You know, this is a really great way to combo, and it makes it rude. Just the fact that you're going to be able to tutor up your Planeswalkers, then cast them, then untap Sissy, then cast more Planeswalkers. The possibilities are endless. There's a few other cards that have gotten good with it, but these are some of the tops.
Well, there goes my speculation on Dejeru being the first of its kind. I mean, he lets you go and find a Planeswalker, but now throw that out the window. Just go find a legendary card. That suffices. No problem.
Hey, would you run Dejeru, or would you rather have Athalia's Lancers?
You know, I would take the first strike over the Vigilance any day. So Lancers it is. Yeah.
That's so awkward to say, but it's just better.
Yeah.
So, like we were saying, this is a great rules change. I think this is going to lead to a lot of fun stuff. Now, there are a lot of people detracting on this and saying this is a horrible move for Wizards. Why are you going to lump this unique card in another type?
Right.
Do you know that answer? Do you know why they're doing that?
No idea.
Well, so the problem was that a lot of people, the uniqueness rule was good, but it was not a total answer to how Planeswalkers worked or how Wizards viewed them. So what it came down to is that Wizards wanted to make them work better. There was so many issues with how Planeswalkers were working that the uniqueness rule just wasn't working anymore. So that is why they've been working on making them legendaries. Now, originally, they were legendaries when we saw Teferi and...
What, the Commander series where all the Planeswalkers...
Way back. Planar Chaos. Teferi has three abilities. They also made the red spell mage that you could discard a card to cast spells to.
Oh, Jaya Ballard.
So there you go. Those two were their original first attempts at making Planeswalker cards. Now, that was pre-mending before Planeswalkers, they were all gods at that time. And it was really hard space to work with. Ultimately, they found a way to make it so that it's a Planeswalker gets to cast a spell every turn, and it's focused on their Planeswalker. So that's kind of what they came unto. But it was a really cool design space that they worked with those two Planeswalkers specifically, because, I mean, Teferi is such an iconic character in Magic. If you read the stories, you'll see. We know a lot about that, and we might be talking about that soon.
Yes, yes, indeed. We're going to be having some episodes coming up where we know we're going back to Dominaria, so we want to help educate you all on some of the lore of the classic plane that Magic was conceived on. So
it's Inception plane?
There you go. Much nicer way of saying it. And there is so much to tell. So look forward to some of those coming up in the future.
It's very convoluted. It's hard to talk about.
Oh, yeah. As you'll see, and we'll do our best.
And Jaya Ballard was the second. Now, those were both legendary creatures. They did not have the Planeswalker type. And I think they liked how they worked, minus the fact that their abilities did not feel very Planeswalky. They felt more like an enchantment. So that's when they started toying with it. And then shortly thereafter, we got the Lorwyn 5. But there's just something wasn't right yet, and that's why we now have legendary Planeswalkers.
So what you're saying is Deathrite Shaman was a little late to the party.
Definitely a little late to the party.
Oh, good old one-drop Planeswalkers.
That card is busted.
Yep.
Oh, wait, that's why it's got bannings and restrictions and stuff.
That's why you can't play it in Modern, and people are trying to call for it in Legacy, which is ridiculous.
Wow.
But, so were there any other cards or points you wanted to touch on in terms of this new legendary rule change? I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely warping, you know, what cards are going to be good.
There was a list somebody put up somewhere. Let me see if I can't find this real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to talking about Mirror Gallery, I did run, because, you know, playing Commander for a while, I made a 5-color deck that was just made up of all legendary creatures. And one of the staples that I use in a lot of my blue Commander decks is Rite of Replication. Well, you lose out on the targeting ability of your own creatures if they're all legendary. So then I was like, why not run Mirror Gallery? And I tell you what, it is so much fun when you actually get to clone legendary creatures. I mean, the power that just erupts on your board is so awesome.
I made an EDH deck focus on cloning, using Rite of Replication on a single creature. Because why not? And so essentially, I've got a Timir deck, and I run Mirror Gallery, Rite of Replication, and Doubling Season, along with, I think I have Parallel Lives in there too. But the card I want to make a bunch of copies of is Ruric Thar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember hearing you say that earlier, and that would just be done where they're like, I cast a non-creature spell, take 60.
Well, I mean, it would be 66.
Okay.
But, you know, it's worth 6 damage to take initially.
Yeah.
So, other cards that are really good with Planeswalker's new legendary rule is Reiki, the History of Kamigawa, which is a 3-drop 2/2. That says whenever you cast a legendary spell, draw a card. Who doesn't like drawing cards? Yumiji who bars the way.
What was that? What was that green from Kamigawa where it's allowed you to the one in a green tutor up a legendary? Was it legendary creature?
Time of Need is only a legendary creature.
God, I'm pulling all these legendary creature cards out of my butt. Oh, man. Well, yeah.
Oh, that's busted.
What is it? What is
Yomiji, it? Yomiji who bars the way. 5 generic white legendary creature spirit. It is a 4/4. And it says, whenever a legendary permanent other than Yomiji who bars the way is put into a graveyard from play, return that card to its owner's hand.
Oh, wow.
It's at $130 right now.
I don't think people have seen it,
but, I mean, it might be worth grabbing.
I mean, it's a 7-drop.
Foils
that's one of the
are $30.
Oh, my gosh. That's one that could possibly see a slight uptick as time goes on. I don't think anybody's just going to snap buy those out, but you're absolutely right. With this change, that card becomes like exponentially more valuable. So good pull on that one.
There was also another card that is an ancient tomb in a sense for legendary spells, and that's Untadaki, the Cloud Keeper, is a legendary land, and then there's a battlefield tap, and it says tap and pay 2 life to add 2 colorless to your mana pool that you can only spend this mana to play legendary spells.
Huh. So what you're saying is the entire Kamigawa block just got a huge financial boost.
Yes. Yes, that is what I'm saying.
Why shouldn't we return to Kamigawa? This sounds like a great
because
precursor.
Because it almost killed Magic last time they did.
But now it's producing all these wonderful legendary loopholes that it never thought it was going to do, so... You know, print another Jitte while they're at it. You know, let's get back into it.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah, no. Okay, cool. Were there...
That doesn't do anything. No, that's all of them.
That's all? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can move on to another very, very interesting bit of news that... Wizards released to us on dailymtg.com. And this is something that a lot of people have known about for a long time, but I was just extremely intrigued to hear their reaction to the sheet of Ixalan cards that was leaked before Hour of Devastation was even officially released. It was kind of, you know, to use the phrase again, the elephant in the room that nobody was talking about. And it explains in this article how, you know, Wizards does not like to acknowledge events like this.
Or deny.
They just kind of don't say anything about it because, you know, it's the less that people are talking about it, you know, the more people are going to be focusing on Hour of Devastation.
I think the way that I came about it is we've decided as a company that if anything comes out early, we're not going to confirm or deny it. So that way, if anybody wants to talk about it, they're more than welcome to, but they have no basis to say that it is real or fake. So that way, it kind of just falls off the map.
Right. And I know we talked about some of the cards. We definitely were caught up in the excitement. You know, obviously, there's a lot of speculation in terms of what's going to be coming out in the set. Mm-hmm. Possible standard decks, stuff like that. But ultimately, what it, you know, comes down to is there was a former employee at Wizards.
Nope. That it was at a printing press.
Oh,
it wasn't even a Wizards employee.
You're right. It was at a printing press. And they, let's see here. Okay, here we go. However, during a shift at one of these facilities, a former temporary employee of that facility allegedly,
They had to say allegedly because they're still in court cases.
Right. Took a stack of uncut sheets from Ixalan, evaded security, and left the building. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, my apologies. It wasn't anything having to do with Wizards. It was just the company that was actually printing the cards for them. So this and then the article goes on to say that in a very timely manner, I believe you said it was 2 days,
almost within 2 days, they were getting a bunch of information from all sorts of outside sources that said, hey, this person's doing this. And they're like, yep, that person's doing that. And within those 2 days, cops were at the person's house, and he was in handcuffs, and the goods were in Wizards' hands again.
Yep.
Quickly. Yep. It was like, that is crazy.
Oh, yeah. And unfortunately, while the sheets themselves were recovered, the picture that many of us have already seen...
pictures. We got, like... a picture of each of like the three sheets that were stolen.
Yeah, there is no unseeing that as soon as you see it, which then sends people into a frenzy of speculation and excitement. But you know, the article also does go on to say that a lot of Magic content creators, as well as even Mero himself, likes to preview these cards in their own specific fashion. And geocaching. I mean, geocaching is this huge, exciting event that's taking place right now that, you know, with these leaks beforehand, people are showing these to people before they're even able to take part in this grand event that Wizards has been planning for a long time. So it totally... You
know, probably a year and a half or a year or so. I mean, most of the time, let's say they're starting, I can't remember the name of the set coming out in 2 years, but they just probably started production on it. And they're working on world building right now on a new world that we're going to see in 2 years.
Yep.
So they've got all this information, all this great secret that they're hiding from us. We're not even delving in to look at it because we're just waiting patiently for them to show us a glimpse into their minds and what they're thinking. And to have somebody steal essentially their baby.
Yep.
Gosh.
Yep. And the fact that you're trying to look at these blurry images and, you know, some of them you couldn't even tell what the power and toughness were or the casting cost or something was cut off. So it just feels a little dirty. So, you know, it is a process. Everybody gets excited for preview season. So
it's hard not to.
It really, really is. But now that we have all these official Ixalan spoilers to look forward to.
Well, so as you know, with that announcement, they said, guess what? We're going to give you all of these cards and show you everything that was leaked. So we got an entire spoiler list. And then they came out and said, hey, this is great that we're giving you all this information, but because of all this stupidity that happened, we're going to be releasing cards slower. So when we're going through spoiler season starting next week, I mean, I'm excited too. They're only going to give us around 3 cards a day at max. And they're going to focus a lot on the commons and uncommons, which is something that they've never really done. So we're going to get to find out design stories on commons and uncommons and how they go into making them instead of the rares. So this is going to really be able to open up a lot of eyes for people interested in making the game. So, I don't know. It's not all bad.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're a limited player, if you like to draft, commons and uncommons are almost the most important part because you can't count on seeing these rares, you know? And so that's really kind of got to tickle your fancy if you're really interested in seeing what goes into, you know, planning a set based on a limited environment. I mean, that's what Wizards seems to be doing a lot nowadays, is planning, you know, for a limited environment. And, you know, unfortunately, that's sometimes when we get, you know, Saheeli cat combos and other stuff. But, you know, I myself have a very limited experience. see what I did there? But
no, I didn't. I just heard it.
But yeah, no, that'll definitely be very interesting, because obviously your mythics and your rares, they're huge, they're exciting, they're colorful, mm-hmm. they're flashy, but, you know,
they're strong.
Yeah, I mean, you get a couple uncommons each set that are just, you know, they go into eternal formats. You know, I mean, Fatal Push, Abraid, a lot of these cards you'll be seeing for a very long time, and they're not rare. You know, they're the uncommons, and then maybe even some uncommons. Maybe a Tune with Aether finds a time, you know, in a modern deck, or even a Legacy deck if energy is a thing. But anyway, this is all fine and dandy, and Wizards has definitely recovered from this situation, it seems, in a very elegant fashion, and has brought us all back to the wonderful enchanted world of preview season, because...
I mean, don't you mean pirates and dinosaurs?
And merfolk and vampires? And
conquistador vampires.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so the art on Admiral Beckett Brass, if you haven't seen.
It's amazing.
It was so good.
The wallpaper on Wednesday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and it is just, I mean, forget what the card actually does. Like, the artwork is so detailed and so vibrant that, you know, we spent so long in the dark worlds of, you know, ruined Zendikar and Innistrad, and Kaladesh was a little bit brighter.
Kaladesh was definitely bright, but Amonkhet was not.
Amonkhet was very dark, yes. And so here we are again with some more, you know, bright, vibrant characters and artwork and plenty of legendary creatures to satisfy everyone's fancy. So definitely looking forward to Ixalan and seeing what it brings us in all formats. Very, very exciting. So, we didn't really have too many constructed standard events in the recent past, and unfortunately, due to Wizards' lack of releasing more than 5 deck lists for online leagues, we're kind of limited in the amount of decks that we can talk about.
Although we get to see a lot during big events. I mean, we've got events coming up all the time.
Oh, we do. I'm just merely talking about this last week. But definitely a bombshell in the news department with this legendary rule change. So, that part of it, very, very exciting. And then, after to move on to our third segment, Greg, I think you had some cards you might have wanted to mention in Wizards' most recent sealed product that we received this last week.
So, if you haven't been into a local game store, you haven't talked about it, you haven't been looking online. So essentially, if you've been a Deranged Termit or something of that sort with your scroll friends, Commander 17 has come out. And it's been a doozy. And matter of fact, a lot of people have been playing this. I played it at my local game store. And man, are these decks packed and powerful. They are great from the get-go for kitchen table magic and everybody to play. And they have so much room for improvement if you love altering decks. But every time we get a new sealed product that has new cards on it, so mainly Commander products, we get a card that has a breakout that just gets play in another format, which the elephant in the room is Vintage and Legacy.
Yes.
One of the more recent cards that we've been seeing there was Containment Priest.
Yep.
A little bit of Dual Caster Mage, and to its great glory, True Name Nemesis.
Yes, all hail True Name Nemesis.
Oh, and don't forget about Shardless Agent.
That was a plane chase card, I believe.
I believe you were correct, but it was still supplemental product printed.
Yes, yes, yeah, true. Yeah. Very true.
So these are all cards that just made another format better. Now, the card in this set that I believe is going to take a storm to this is Teferi's Protection.
Yes.
See what I did there?
Oh, that was very well done, my friend. Very nice.
If you haven't looked up this card, it's a two generic and white instant. And it says, phase out all permanents you control. You gain protection from everything, and you can't lose the game until your next turn.
That's just now, absolutely insane.
A lot of you are asking me, what is phasing? Phasing is a really, really old keyword. And essentially what it says is set aside the card in a zone that's not exiled, but it's still on the battlefield without being on the battlefield.
Right, so when it phases back in, you won't get any enter the battlefield triggers.
Correct, and you don't get any leave the battlefield triggers either with it. But your opponents can't interact with these cards while they're phased out.
Right.
And your cards that are phased out can't interact with them either. So it's kind of like you're throwing a blanket over everything and say, nope, not here. Guess what? You can't hit me either. So the only way that you could actually kind of lose the game on that is if they mill you out, which is incredibly hard.
Yeah.
I talked it out with some friends and we're like, mind grind for like 10... Consuming Aberration, maybe. That's really it.
You're speaking my language here. That sounds like my Gate Crash pre-release experience all over again. That was some fun times.
Yes.
And, you know, it's... Yeah. Yeah. No, that's all
but
I'll say about that.
What makes this card so good is it gives the extension to the control decks. It gives the combo breaker to go against your combo decks. I mean, Storm is still a good deck.
Yes.
And if you play against white and they have this card, it's an insta-lose.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I play my hand. I have no cards left in hand. Grape shot for win. And they go protection, and you go, I lose.
Yeah.
Because you have no staying power. And I mean, you might be running a more resistant one with Past in Flames and things like that. But most of the time for you to get there, you've already played them.
Right.
And then you've got your other kind of combo decks like Oops All Cards, where you dredge your entire deck out, play everything from your graveyard, you swing in to win. But if you don't get that kill that turn... Which is why the deck was running Gitaxian Probe to find make sure they had the kill.
Right.
You lose to a Teferi's Protection. So now you've got more than one card that you're looking for to hate out. So it means they have to run more removal, which makes the deck not work.
Right. I mean, so, obviously it's going to get hit by Force of Will and other counter spells and stuff like that, but it's... Just you can't run everything up against that to gauge whether or not it's a good card. You know, I mean, there's plenty of decks, sadly, that aren't running blue that this is just a house against, and they won't be able to do anything against it.
Yeah. I mean, even Elf Ball has a problem with this deck because it's like, I'll swing. And you're like, okay, you swing. Teferi's Protection. And they're like, I can't get in. And then the Teferi's Protection does Wrath of God.
Yep.
Supreme Verdict. Usually it's going to be Supreme Verdict because guess what? It pitches the Force of Will really nicely.
Yeah, and it's a 4-drop. So you got that curve going in there pretty nicely. And, you know, a lot of times, not even that it's, I mean, you obviously are going to stop the Storm player from winning that turn, but sometimes just one more turn is all you need to go off. Mm-hmm. And that gives you that protection, I mean, that you'd need to set yourself up to then, you know, either handle your opponent's board.
Is that Teferi's Protection?
That would be Teferi's Protection. Exactly. It just gives you so much protection. But no, yeah. I think you're absolutely right. I think that will be the breakout card that goes into Eternal formats. No problem. I mean, yeah, it's a shame the Commander product can't be used in Modern, but, you know, it is what it is.
There is another card that I think does have some play in other formats than EDH. Now, this one's more of a surprise card. I don't think anybody looks at it as being good. It is a 4-drop sorcery. It is 2 generic red. And it is Kindred Charge. When you cast it, you choose a creature type. And for each creature you control of that type, put a token copy of it on the battlefield. It gains haste, exile at the end of turn. So what I mean to say is that a card like this in an elf deck, would you like to double the number of elves you have?
Yes, please.
What about if it wasn't doubling the number of goblins you had?
Yes, please.
I mean, even if you were splashing red for Merfolk, I don't know.
Yes, please.
I think this may get some play just because it makes it so that you don't have to overextend. I mean, it'll make it so the Merfolk deck goes Lord, 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 and nothing else. And you go and you play this and you're like, Lord, 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 I win? Because I have 6 Lords on the board. All my creatures get +5/+5. I mean, do you win against that? They swing for 30 damage.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. That is pretty dumb.
I'm just like, and you have counter protection up.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, just mention, you might also get a copy of Curse Catcher.
Yeah, right? There you go. So, Greg, let me ask you this. We were talking about Mirror Gallery earlier. What if you wanted to look at the Dragons deck here for the C17 product, over half of these Dragons are Legendary.
Mm-hmm.
So if only you were able to get your hands on a Mirror Gallery and then just put that and Kindred Charge into this deck, it would make it just beyond dumb.
It would make it very, very strong. I mean, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah.
Did you notice they put Painful Truth into the Dragon deck?
I did.
Did you know they also put a Fist of the Sun, so you can pay 5, draw 5, take 5 with a Painful Truth and Fist of the Sun?
I never saw the interaction. That is pretty dumb.
I mean, you could also put in a Radiant Flames to pay 5, do 5 damage to each creature.
Wow. Wow.
Talk about value.
Yeah, no, I cannot wait to get these decks. I still haven't got them yet, but once I do,
make sure, we are going to be recording some plays to put on our new YouTube.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we are.
Something to look forward, guys.
Oh, dude, Savage Ventmoth with Kindred Charge.
That doesn't work because, remember, Kindred Charge is a sorcery.
Right, but you play that in your beginning of your first main.
I mean, here's something to think about in that deck. So let's say you do Savage Ventmoth and you have your Hellkite Charger. Kindred Charge. Do you get infinite attack steps?
Well, don't you already 5, 6, 7. Savage Ventmoth gives you 6. Oh, you're 1 short. Okay. Yes, in that case, yes, absolutely.
Infinite attack steps.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and then if you have something like, I don't know, Silumgar out, and you're like, oh, well, I'll just take infinite attack sets, and each time I attack with a dragon, all of the defending player's creatures get minus X, where X is the number of tagging creatures. Oh, wait, I have an Ur Dragon out. I get to win the game.
Let's just shrink your board down to absolute nothingness. That sounds like a plan to me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
One of the things that the dragon deck is missing, though, is a haste enabler.
True.
Because it only runs it in the form of boots. You are playing all five colors of Magic. You do get to play anything you want.
Put boots on a dragon. Why not?
Hey, dragons have 4 feet. They can wear boots and greaves.
You know what I am super excited about? Just to kind of go back to Ixalan for a second.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're going to have dinosaurs riding like sky skiffs.
Oh,
like,
man.
Come on.
Hey, just imagine if they unbad Smuggler's Copter.
Oh, no. That would be
too good.
I just
want to see a pterodactyl crew a Smuggler's Copter.
Well, I mean, we are getting vehicles also in Ixalan.
Oh, man.
Which is
ridiculous.
We are getting
pirate ships.
Oh, yeah.
Pirate ships. We get to go on pirate ships, guys.
Have you seen the art of the humongous pirate ship with the ships in it?
What is it? The 4-5 Vigilant or something?
No. There's another one. It's art. I haven't actually seen it on a card yet.
Oh, no.
But it's this gigantic ship. And
does it look kind of cathedral looking?
I don't know if I'd call it cathedral, but it was black. But you know how they have scale birds in a lot of art?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they had scale ships in this art regular size ships, tiny, and this thing was huge.
Well, so if you didn't know, story-wise, I listen to a lot of things every week because information is key.
As you should.
So, in Ixalan, there are 4 major races. You have the Sun Tribe, you have the Merfolk, you have the...
Vampires?
The Vampire Conquistadors, and then there's a 4th that I can't remember right now. Pirates. Oh, okay. Pirates.
There you go.
How could I forget the pirates?
How
could
we forget?
The Sun Tribe is looking for something in the jungle. The Merfolk are protecting the something in the jungle, but they don't know where it is. The Conquistadors are wanting the something in the jungle because it was an artifact that was stolen from them when they were a fledgling tribe. And then you have the pirates that want to steal something in the jungle because they believe it'll allow them to go back to the original continent they came from on this plane. Now remember, Ixalan is not the name of the plane we're on. It's just a name of the continent.
Gotcha.
Which is something that happened very often on the plane of...
Dominaria.
Yes! Oh man, it's like everything leads there. Oh yep. Wait, it does. It's the center of the multiverse. And we haven't been there in more than 15 years.
Oh, man. Well,
talk about crazy.
It's just getting me giddy thinking about it. And I believe our next episode, we will take you into Dominaria and one of the most notorious characters in all of Magic. So,
what? The Allfather?
Be sure to stay tuned to see who we're talking about if you don't already know. With that, I think we're ready to wrap up this episode. Anything else you wanted to touch on, Greg?
I don't have much to touch on. Be excited. Keep your eyes on the forefront or eyes on the horizon for the next Ixalan spoilers. I swear I can talk.
Yeah, right. And then if I had any last words just about this Commander product that was released, if you are new or thinking about getting into Commander, this is a wonderful, wonderful set to start with. If nothing else,
even the cat deck is good.
Well, there are so many legendary creatures included in all these decks. So do not think that your decks are limited to the card that's on the face of the box. Like I was telling you about the dragons, there's so many legendary dragons that you can build entire decks with.
Or change your general out for what it is already. All right. Before I make this guy walk the plank, we should get moving.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Gosh. Okay. We're going to shut this down before it gets any worse. Oh, God.
Is it too punny for you?
It's too punny. But, you know, okay. All right. Well, before we go, we'd like to remind you, head on over to flipsidegaming.com. Any order over $10 or more, use that promo code WINCONDITION in all caps to get 10% off your purchase and contribute to further show giveaways. You can find me at MTG_Sean on Twitter.
And I am at NoobSlasher2003. On Twitter.
And our show is at The Win Condition. You can check out our videos that are going to be getting updated pretty soon on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/TeamWinCondition. You can follow us on Instagram at TeamWinCondition. And then our email address, that's right, almost forgot. Email address is thewincondition@gmail.com. And we are available on MTGcast, iTunes, Shout Engine. We're also starting up on SoundCloud, so look for us there.
SoundCloud? I thought that was a dying breed.
Well, we're expanding our horizons. And also look forward in the near future to us having our YouTube channel. We are on the brink, I say we meaning me and my family, on the brink of having a baby. So we are very excited about that, and it'll create some interesting, scheduling changes.
Yeah,
so we will do our best to bring all this wonderful information to you as time goes on, but yep. Gonna have another little one running around the house pretty soon.
But with those changes, it might just end up we may have some space for extra people to listen in or talk about what we're talking about.
There you go. Yep. Definitely love having guests on the show. Greg, you were actually the first guest that this podcast ever had.
And then I became a staple.
And then you became a staple. Yep. There you go.
I just got main decked after the first time.
Right. No more sideboard for you. No, it was so funny. Earlier on, I was at our kitchen table and I was cleaning up, organizing some cards. And I had a bunch of old sleeves that I was getting ready to throw away, plus a bunch of old cards that really have just no business being in my collection. They're just old commons and stuff. And Titus, my 1.5-year-old, well, man, he's like 20 months old now, but he loves coming over and messing with me while I'm sorting my cards. So
yeah,
I gave him a stack of cards, gave him some old sleeves, and he was sitting at that table for 15, 20 minutes just moving cards around and putting sleeves up and stuff. It was a trip to watch because you think it's a kid. He's just going to ruin everything, but it was just
always true.
I know, right? It was just funny to see him work. So who knows? Got my hopes up. But anyway.
I have a new Magic player in the works.
I know, right? Planeswalker in training. So, anyway, all right. Well, all that being said, I think we're done for this week. Greg, thanks as always.
Always a pleasure.
And all y'all out there listening, thank you very much. And we will talk to you next week.